Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 119 of our year of the Bible, chapters 3 and 4, I'm going to be honest, I don't know why they divided it up this way. It seems to me like we could have just done like 1 through 9 all in one fell swoop, but maybe we just got a little break here with chapters 3 and 4. Still with the genealogies, today we look at the sons of David. And remember, David is the main character. David and Solomon, the main characters of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So when we come to David, we come to the main event, if you will. We've been doing up until that point, you know, the sons of Jacob divided up in that way, but now we're talking about David, and they're all there, and it goes directly from David. David was reigned in Jerusalem for 33 years, and these were the children born to him there. And then it names them all, right? So it names. The reason I point that out is because that's the line, right? Like that's the Davidic line. Now it's going to go through Solomon, and in my Bible at least, verse 10, the subhead there is the kings of Judah. Now a lot of those kings you will recognize the names. In fact, all of them you'll recognize from the book of 1st and 2nd Kings. Now, but in 17, you get the sons who were born, even some of them after the exile, which is to say that the Judahites recognized the continuing Davidic line even in the exile, even when they weren't. When they weren't kings. You know what I mean? Like, you can just imagine them there in Babylon, refugees in that direction, in this case. And they still, nonetheless, they had their eye on that Davidic line because of the promise that God had made to King David. Now they weren't reigning over anything, right? Quite the opposite. They were captures, captives. They were captives. Nonetheless, they kept track of it. Other clans of Judah. So David is the central character, and Judah is the central tribe. Judah is the tribe that is going to be the faithful remnant of the nation Israel. The one person I wanted to point out was Jabez. I don't know if you were around in that time when the prayer of Jabez was a big deal. It was a book called The Prayer of Jabez. That was a big deal. And basically what it said was you should pray for things and then expect them. And maybe that's what it says here. Maybe not. But it's worth mentioning. Again, you know, this is not just reporting the news. This is an analysis of the news. This is a theological analysis of the news. And so one of the things that we get here is about this guy named Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez sounds like the Hebrew word for pain. I am told that it sounds like it. It's got the same letters, only in reverse order. So there you are. So she names him pain. Now, whether that pain was worse than other pains, or worse than other women giving birth, I don't know. However, it reminds us of the curse way back in Genesis to Eve, "You will give birth in pain." So that makes us think, well, this is kind of a paradigmatic experience, right? Like here it is, Jabez's mother calling back to this primal curse. But notice what happens to Jabez. His mother named Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." However, we are told Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And here's what he did. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Be with me, keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request. And that's the end of the story, right? Jabez, what did he do right? He cried out to the God of Israel. That's who he went to. Said, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Enlarging his territory, entirely reasonable thing to ask for. Look, the whole goal is to occupy the land, to like flourish and occupy the land and all that kind of stuff. He was saying he wanted to do that, and he wanted to be free from pain. That's a reasonable request, whether it comes true or not, I don't know. But like it says in the Epistle of James, you know, you have not because you ask not. You don't know what God is, what prayer God is going to fulfill. But you can ask, because Jabez does, and his prayer is answered. If we think of Jabez as sort of the paradigmatic human, right, born in pain, here is an example of a way that sin can be sort of reversed, can sort of be like turned around, right? Jabez, the son born in pain, nonetheless has God step in, cries out to God, and God steps in and does something about it, which is again to say that we are not trapped. None of us are trapped by our ancestors, the way in which we were brought up, the way that we were treated, whatever we did or didn't do, whatever our history is, none of it traps us into some you know, situation that cannot be overcome. You can distinguish this from something like Greek tragedy, where the family that you're born into, right, the curse that you're born underneath, sort of determines what your outcome is going to be. That is not the case here. It's not true for Jabez, and importantly, it's not going to be true for Judah. Right, Judah is going into exile, but again, this is a theological analysis of what has happened to Judah. Judah's going to go into exile, but it's going to come back. It is not going to suffer forever for its sins in the past. Rather, things are going to turn around for it. And Chronicles is a book, so again, of hope and of encouragement. Things can turn around for Judah, and they will. When we get to Isaiah, when we get to the prophets, we'll come across those words that were said in Babylon to the people. And it was a lot of this. God may very well grant your request. And again, it's like a sort of like little in the midst of all this, a sort of ray of light, like ray of sunshine, saying yes, it's possible to overcome the past. It's even possible to overcome sin. It's even possible to overcome the original sin, right? All of these things can be, you know, God is slow to anger and quick to forget sins. So there you are. Now Judah comes first. I already said that because Judah is the most important. Then you get the other ones, and I'm not gonna go all into it. The folks in Simeon didn't get as big. Anyway, I'll just leave that. But there we are. This is the genealogy. Pretty soon we're going to get to what comes in the middle. Are the Levites? That's kind of the climax of this sort of genealogy. It has sort of like a triangle shape. I'm not sure if triangle is the right way to put it, but it kind of like goes up, and it's kind of the climax that it goes down. Anyway, I will leave that there for now. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, have a wonderful rest of your day, St. Georgians, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Huh? Bye.
Bye.